Good to see you all. Good morning. I'm feeling a little under the weather this morning, so I'm kind of keeping my distance from everybody. It doesn't mean I don't love you. It means I love you. So it's always good to be together. And beautiful spring day in El Paso. I am honored to be here. This morning in my life, I realized I was made for greatness. Sometimes I have a greater sense of that than other times, but God made me for greatness, to do great things, to make a difference in this world, to bring good to this world. And I see that in you too. God made you for greatness. God made you to make a difference in this world and to bring good to this world. And God's handiwork is in you. You are God's masterpiece. You are created for greatness. But in that sometimes for me, sometimes I shrink back from that because I realize my own inadequacy. I realize my own shortcomings. I realize my failures and how much I just mess stuff up even when I have the best intentions. And sometimes I shrink back. I'm like, I don't, forget it. I don't think God could really use me. I don't think God really intended my life for greatness. Let me just find something menial and settle for that. Other times, because I have this sense of God wants to do great things with me, I pour my life into it. And I take on way more than I can possibly take on. Because, man, I'm supposed to be great. And I take on all these different things and I add more to it. And this sense in my head, which is even louder when I'm doing more, is you could do more. There's more you could do. And the busier I am and the more I do, the louder that becomes of you should do more. You could do more. And so I find for myself, neither one of those is really a healthy place to be. But what is the healthy place? What is the greatness? So this morning, I'm going to make a smoothie for you guys. And the smoothie is a demonstration of God's greatness. So today, I want to talk to you about how God intended us for greatness with a smoothie. I have made probably five smoothies in my life. And so I guarantee this will be a great one. You're welcome to partake. I will try not to sneeze on it. I will do my best, so. Yeah. And so a great life, what would be the components of a great life? In this metaphor, I have some things to make a great life. And I think a great life, first of all, needs some healthy stuff. Like fresh garden greens. Yeah, that brings some greatness in life, huh? Actually, I have some celery too, which is there anything more healthy than celery? I mean, celery's like the top of it. And then a great life, I think, also needs something sweet. Needs some sweetness in life. So we got a little apple juice here. Actually, I think even in life, we need some of those extra sweet moments. You know, those beautiful moments that are just so sweet. So this honey is one of the sweetest things on the planet. And so I'm going to throw a little honey in here. Oh, yeah. This is looking great. All right. And honestly, life wouldn't be great without some rough things in life, without some challenges. And so I got some crunchy stuff. This is some ice. And some of the hard things in life actually make life good. And then some more hard things, only slightly sweeter. Get some frozen bananas in here. Okay. Actually, so I'm going to mix my metaphors this morning. Really, the greatness that I want to speak of this morning is the greatness in our lives, which is represented not only in the smoothie, but in this amazing blender. So this is a Vitamix, 63 billion. I don't know what it is. And this thing is amazing. This thing represents us, the greatness that we were intended. It not only makes smoothies, but it'll make peanut butter. It'll grind grain. You can warm up soup. It can boil water. I don't know. Like, if anybody's interested, I'll sell you one later. But these things are amazing. This represents us. We were intended for greatness. There's a few functions that this has. One of the functions of this is that it would make a fantastic paperweight. So in life, sometimes papers get blown around, and so you really, really need a paperweight. This is slightly expensive as a paperweight. Very effective. Very effective paperweight. And sometimes in my life, I settle for being a paperweight. Because that's all I think I'm worth. Just being a nice, really expensive masterpiece paperweight. Other times, I realize the greatness that I have. And so let's go ahead and blend this. Watch your ears. Let's see. We're on high variable. Oops. Well, sometimes if it doesn't really work, what I find is just work harder. Just really make it happen. Do more. If you do more, just work harder. Just, you can do something great with your life. You know what I mean? This is how I feel sometimes. I'm going to do something great with my life, whatever it takes. I bet you could make a smoothie, somebody in here, just by shaking this. I don't know. Let's see. Anybody know anything about blenders? What's that? Plug it in. Yeah, that's always a good idea. Looks plugged in. Oh. Thank you, Bill. You should plug it into the source. That's a good idea. Plug it into the source. Let's see. That looks pretty good. A little green, but that'll be... Yeah. You're going to enjoy that. I recommend it. Anybody's brave enough at the end, come and grab a nice green smoothie. It will, I don't know if it should add some years to your life. But, okay, what I want to talk to you guys about today is that greatness in life, it comes from being connected to the source. And when we're not connected to the source, we become unfruitful. We become unproductive in our lives. We can be really busy. We can do a lot of things. We can put a lot of effort into life. But without the source of life, without being connected to the source of life, it becomes kind of futile, kind of empty. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I just get dry. Just like I've been running on my own strength, and I'm aware of it. And without that life source, it just, after a while, it doesn't even mean anything. It's like, what's the point? And so, why don't we pray, and then we're going to just dig into a couple of passages in this. How's it been going? You guys been jumping into the John to Jude reading that we're doing? Anybody enjoying that? So, this last week we read Ephesians and Philippians. So those 10 chapters, I thought those are amazing. I love those letters that Paul wrote. This next week we're going to start in Colossians and go through Thessalonians. I just encourage you, if you haven't, grab a bookmark. But it's kind of cool just to be reading the same stuff. And it's a really beautiful thing. Just have God's words kind of in our thoughts and minds, in our lives on a regular basis. So just encourage you in that. I'm going to share some thoughts from Ephesians, but let's pray. Thank you, God, for this morning. God, I thank you that you have created us for greatness. God, I thank you for this room full of your masterpieces, full of people that you have amazing plans for, that you have created to bring good and to make a difference in this world and to affect eternity. God, I just acknowledge that without you, we're just empty. I pray that you would teach us this morning. I pray that you would help us to connect with you, to walk and trust in you. Not trusting ourselves, but trusting you. You are the source of life. You are the source of all good things. We just offer you this time. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so on your handout, there's a section from Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And what I want to ask you to do is when you get that, everybody needs a pen or pencil. There should be some in the pockets of the seats. If you need one, move around or whatever. Grab a pen or pencil. I want you to read that section, those 10 verses. And as you read it, I want you to just mark it up. And I want you to circle any words that pop out at you. What are some words that as you read that section, like, whoa, that's a cool word, or that kind of rings true with something in me. And if there's any phrases, longer phrases, underline those. So you're going to circle any words that kind of stick out, and then underline any phrases. And then at the end, I want you to write down one thought or one observation from this passage. And then I'm going to ask you to share with somebody next to you. So, all right. You guys didn't know I was going to make you read through that. But anybody want to throw out a thought? What stuck out to you, or what was your observation or thought? Anybody want to just yell it out? Grace. Yeah. What an amazing word. Grace. Grace is the gift of God, the unmerited favor. What we could never earn, never be worthy of, never deserve. It's just a gift. He gives us favor. He says, you are my treasured one because I decided, because I wanted you to be. Just a gift. What a beautiful word. We're going to walk through this passage just a little bit. So Ephesians 2, beginning in 1, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. I don't know if anybody else circled those words. Dead and wrath stuck out to me. Whoa. We were dead. So this is talking about spiritual death. We were still physically alive, but we were spiritually dead. Completely depraved, completely dead. We were actually following the spirit of the air. We were following the evil one. And his intentions just lived out in our own passions and selfishness. And for that reason, we were under wrath. We were separated from God, disconnected and dead. We had no life in us. We were completely unplugged, completely disconnected from the source. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. How cool. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. How beautiful. I love that phrase. God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. That's cool. The great love with which he loved us, like, just a double decker. He didn't just love us, but he loved us with this great love because he had so much mercy. Because he had so much mercy, he sent his son, Jesus, into our world to come and dwell with us and be among us and to take on our humanity and to suffer the wrath that we should have taken and to take it for us. And then Jesus was raised from the dead. And here's one of the most amazing mysteries to me. It says he raised us up with him and seated us with him. Jesus was raised from the dead and went to the right hand of the Father. And this mystery, if anybody completely understands it, please explain it to me at the end. But whoever has faith in Christ is seated with Jesus spiritually. Spiritually, we are seated with Jesus next to the Father, because we are in him. We are part of him. We are spiritually in his life. And we're seated in the heavenly realms with Jesus. Wow. So that he can show this amazing riches of his kindness towards us, to all, to the heavenly places. And For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Amazing verse, great one to memorize. We are saved, we are able to come into the presence of God not because of our own works, not because of our own merit, but because of His grace. And because of our faith in His grace, and even that faith was a gift to trust Him. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And some of the Bible translations for this word workmanship, they put the word masterpiece in there. For we are God's masterpiece. We are His workmanship, created to do good works. But I think sometimes for me, and that's kind of what I started with, I start there. Okay, I'm God's workmanship. I better perform. I better do a lot of things. I better make it happen. But when I do that, I skip what happened right before that. Right before that, it says, it's not because of your works. You can't boast. It's because of His grace. It's because of what He's done. And if I become disconnected from that, I become disconnected to the source. The source is His grace. It's His mercy. It's His kindness. We're going to look at one more passage, Ephesians 3. If you guys want to just read through it with me, starting in 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. What an amazing phrase. May you be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Awesome. May we have strength in our inner beings because Christ is in us through the Spirit of God. Christ, the power of Christ is in us because Christ lives in all who have faith in Him. He dwells within us. May we be rooted and grounded in love. So it's a very similar metaphor, kind of like being connected with an extension cord. But the metaphor is like a plant. A plant is rooted and grounded, and it's sucking up that love. It's connected to the source of love. And if you pull a plant out by the roots, it dies, because it's not rooted and connected to the love anymore. But us being rooted and grounded, connected to the source of love, may we, as we're connected, have the power to understand what amazing love we've been given. The height and depth and breadth and length of love. This unbelievable love that surpasses knowledge. We can't even understand it. Now, to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. May He be the source. May He accomplish through our lives the greatness that He intended. Just a few truths I want to pass on. Number one, God loves me. And that's for you, like God loves you. God loves me. And when I remember that, God loves me. God truly loves me. He's truly for me. Regardless of all those things in my life, regardless of the places where I've totally blown it, He loves me and He's merciful. He is rich in mercy. He loved us with an amazing love. And God is powerful and trustworthy. He is strong. We can trust Him. He is our source of power and love. Not ourselves. He is our source of power and love. So how do we connect to the source of power and love? How do we learn how to rely on God and to trust Him. And I would love to hear you guys' journeys of what that process has been for you to trust God. And if I could describe the entire purpose of life, I feel like the entire purpose of life is an adventure learning how to trust God. It's an adventure learning to trust Him and letting go of my own self-reliance that I love and come back to. But it's an adventure of learning to trust the one who is trustworthy. A few things in my life, I think one of the things that helps me trust God is being thankful. When life is really horrible, being thankful is one of the most powerful acts of trust that there is. Thank you, God. Thank you for giving me life. Thank you for the people in my life. Thank you that you love me. Thank you for the inheritance I have. Being thankful is a beautiful act of trust. Another way to trust God is to hunger for Him and cry out for Him. I think if we're not praying, if we're not like asking God, if we're not talking to God, we probably don't really trust Him too much. Because if He's the one with power, we should be going to Him. And we can cry out to Him and hunger for Him. And I'm amazed in my life, the times when I cry out to God, God, move here, do something, please. It seems like, number one, God never works quite as instantaneously as I want. But as I look back over the course of my life, I see how faithful God has been. He has answered my prayers so much. He has brought good from all those places. It may not have been exactly what I thought or had in mind, but those places that I cried out and asked Him for things, He has showed me that He was good. He's met me there. He's heard those. He's answered. Because God hears us. He cares for the things that are on your heart. May we bring them to Him and trust Him because He's trustworthy. Rest and be still with Him. This is something that God's been teaching me over the past couple years. Rest can be an act of trust. For the Jews in the Old Testament, they were required to rest one day a week. They were required to take a Sabbath. It was mandatory. In fact, they would get punished if they didn't take that day off. And that was a time to connect with God. That was a time to be refreshed. It was a time to rest. And in my life, just recently, I've started to really try to guard one day a week and cut it off, at least a morning. It's like, I'm not going to do anything this morning. I'm going to be with my family. I'm going to intentionally seek God. I'm going to do something I enjoy. I'm just going to rest. And that's really hard, which to me shows me how much I rely on myself. Oh, if I don't do all these things, if I don't do everything, the whole world's going to fall apart. Oh, if I drop the ball here, then oh, I don't know what's going to happen. To be able to stop and be like, okay, God, you're God. You got it. I can take a day off. And the Jews, they were required, and this blows me away, they were required every 7 years to let their fields rest. Imagine being a farmer, and every seventh year, you don't even plow your fields. You don't grow anything. You trust, well, God said we're supposed to rest them. He's going to grow enough the year before that there will be enough for 2 years. Whoa. That takes a lot of trust. But God said, don't do it, and I'll provide for you. Of course, if you look at their history, I think they realized, well, we could make a little more money if we farmed this other year. So they stopped doing it. They stopped letting the fields rest. They stopped honoring God by trusting Him in rest. Another one similar to rest is just being still. Isaiah 30:15 says, "For thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. But you are unwilling." In quietness and trust shall be your strength. That's totally contrary to what we think. In more activity and in more effort and in more work, we find strength. It says no. In being still and resting and being quiet, in trusting, you will find strength. And so this is extremely hard for me. I try to spend some time off and on of just being completely quiet. And I don't know if you're like me, but my mind goes about 600 miles an hour. And to just stop and sit with God, I'm just going to stop thinking about all these things. A friend of mine, he describes it as just, he just sits and says, Jesus, I just want you to hold me. Just hold me for a couple minutes. And just turn off all the thoughts and concerns and worries and just sit there with Jesus and let him hold us. My cousin describes it as just sitting on God's lap. Rather than saying, hey God, come play with me. And it's like, I'll just sit on your lap like a father. But I'm just going to sit here and just be still. It's not something easy, but I think it's something really powerful. Because God is God. I am not. He's got it. And to sit with him and let go of these things and just be in his presence is a really powerful thing, of place to trust and find a connection and a source of strength. Lastly, I feel like I share this a lot with you guys, but in my life, being real with God, learning to share emotions with him, has been something that's really helped me connect with God. And so if I have strong emotions, I find that when I share those with God, I'm able to forge a connection with him. So maybe I'm super angry. And to just bring that to God and be like, I am ticked off right now. A couple weeks ago, I walked out of my house and there was snow all over the mountain. I don't know if you guys saw this. It was beautiful. Like, whoa. They're like, the snow didn't melt in 5 minutes. There's snow on this mountain. It's gorgeous. And so the first thing I think, I don't know what you guys think, the first thing I think is, I want to share this with somebody I love. The only thing better than a view like this is sharing it with somebody that I love. So I went and got the kids and was like, hey guys, you got to come out here and walk over and check this out. And to me, this picture is way nicer than the other one. To be able to have a really happy moment and share that with somebody builds a connection. And to have a really beautiful moment and share that with God, God, thank you, I love you. What an amazing thing. Builds a connection with God. Any emotion we share with somebody builds a connection with them. And it does with God too. If we're real enough to be, God, you're real and here's where I'm at, come in and share that with me. But overall, connected to Christ, we're truly alive. We're truly powerful. We're truly able to love. And until we're willing to receive those as gifts, we're not able to give those. And when I receive God's love, I'm able to love. And when I receive God's power, I have power. When I receive his life, I truly live. So we're going to take a short time just to do communion. So I want to invite you to come up and to really intentionally connect with God. To really intentionally, as you go before the representation of Christ's body in the cracker, to really acknowledge you are the source of my life. I receive you, that you are the source of my life. It's your life in me that gives me life and power. And dip the cracker in the juice and truly connect. This is the blood of Jesus. This represents his blood that washed me completely clean. That was his gift, his grace, my complete cleansing. And in that I have righteousness. Not in my own good works or my own efforts, but to really connect and say, you are my source. You're my source. Without you, I'm just a empty paperweight. But with you, I'm full and I have life. I receive your salvation. I acknowledge your power within me, even that I am with you in the heavens. All right, so I'm going to pray and then just invite you guys to come up and thank you, Jesus, for giving us your life. What an amazing gift. In these, we're just dust until you put life into us. Thank you for your life. Thank you for being our source. God, I pray that each one of us would walk in the fullness of the power through your Spirit, that we would acknowledge your strength and we would walk in your love and power. Teach us how to trust you, God. Teach us how to walk a life of trust. In Jesus' name, amen.